Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's consideration is recorded in Paul's epistle to the Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 14 and following, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is our text. Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, we're in an age of identity theft, but the most devastating identity theft took place in the Garden of Eden years ago when Adam and Eve decided that God was not as good of a father as Satan, and so they, believing Satan, listened to him, and they lost their identity and ours and their status as children of God. They and all human beings afterward have been affected by that decision on their part. And they and we have become just like their father that they were following then. We become liars, murderers, our very natures are corrupted by that one decision. What an identity theft that was. Our identity as children of God, stolen. Not only was their sinless nature and identity stolen, but they ceased knowing the identity and the name, the saving name, of God himself. And this is clearly indicated in numerous places in Scripture, but just listen to this one in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, second letter. He says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of those perishing. Same person, Satan, the God of this age. When Paul in Romans 10:14 writes, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? He uses the very same Greek word for call on as Greek writers 500 years before him used, like Herodotus and Plato and Polybius and Epictetus. But fallen sinners cannot call upon God. They do not know God by their nature. If you want to check that out, just look at all of the names for God and all of the various forms of God that have been created by people throughout human history. And our own mind, blinded by Satan, neither knows God's identity, nor his name, nor the way to salvation. What's your favorite non-God's name? They don't exist. They're a name alone. That's it. There is only one God. Buddha, Krishna, Allah. Each illustrates that since the fall into sin, human beings are living an identity crisis. God's identity is hidden from them. But human beings are imaginative. We invent identities. We invent our own gods as if God is blind to our acting. Our sins are lies to ourselves and others. Our thoughts, our words, our deeds lead us into further disguises and masks and damning hypocrisy. In this Epiphany season, we are reminded that God did not remain hidden from our eyes, but rather he reveals himself both as a conduit for calling us to account in our identities and revealing himself as the God of salvation, destroying the false identities that we construct, and then giving us a new one in his Son, Jesus Christ. As the God of grace and forgiveness, he promised Adam and Eve after the fall into sin that they would have a Savior that they could look forward to. And he passed that promise along to a whole long line of the fathers, to Abraham, to Moses, to Jacob. He revealed his name and nature to Moses. He said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and mercy. And he gave us his name at our baptism. He showed amazing wonders. And in the Hebrew, the word is pele. But just listen, this is a little Hebrew lesson that's worth paying attention to. Anytime you saw the wonders, you would see that word pele showing up. It was when God delivered them across the Red Sea. Remember how the power of the word held back the water like a dam? The people crossed over. And then when Moses held out his stretched out his arms again, the waters came and they swallowed the Egyptian armies that were going after them. That was called a pele, a wonder. And the same thing was applied to the pillar of cloud in the day and the pillar of fire at night, and to the manna and to the quail. These marvelous things that nobody could do on their own. God was showing them his presence. All of those things were really a sign of God's presence. They reaffirmed also that he would send a Messiah. And then that great passage in Isaiah where he says, "For us a child, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful," Pele. The greatest wonder of all the wonders that God had been doing would be eclipsed by this one who would come, namely Jesus Christ. Because while God was saving his people, his Jewish people, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would come and save the entire world, taking away sins. Not merely a temporal deliverance from Egypt, but a deliverance giving us everlasting life. And finally, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, with a sweet message of peace and forgiveness, love, clear conscience. But isn't it funny? We human beings continued to demonstrate our lost identity. John 1:11. He came to his own, but his own received him not. John 12:37. Even after Jesus had done these miraculous signs, the equivalent really of those wonders in the Old Testament, in their presence, they still would not believe in him. And that's the way we are by our own sinful natures. And that's why God wants preachers to be sent. And preachers are formally called, but in some sense, all of us, because we're members of the priesthood of believers, have the opportunity to be witnesses of this very same God of salvation and to tell the story to others. The beginning of our restored lost identity comes to us when, in true contrition of heart, we acknowledge our sins, and then we see in the blessed gospel message the forgiveness and peace that God gives to us. He says to each of us, "Your sins are forgiven." The wonders that happened at the cross was God himself paying the price for all of our sins. That's why, you see, if we are like the Old Testament people of God and do not acknowledge what a wonder Jesus' blood was upon the cross, what a wonder his resurrection is, then we are no better than unbelievers. God has given us the greatest miracle of all in the resurrection, coming back from the dead, sending us his son, giving the name of his son to us, Christian. And in that name, we grasp our new identity as loved, forgiven, ransomed children. Decades ago, my wife and I purchased the home that we're living in right now. Former owner had created a beautiful garden in the back, and we worked the garden for a few years, and it produced wonderful bushels of vegetables. But then I went to work on an advanced degree, and for years it lay dormant. 7, 8, 9 years went by. And in that short time, the jungle took over the garden. And right now there are trees 6 inches across, brambles, weeds, rumors of wildcats and rhinos in the back. You know how the wilderness can reclaim civilized land. At one time, the Mideast, Northern Africa, and Europe were largely Christian, but now Turkey is largely Islamic, and Northern Africa has also been taken over. And Islam is growing in France and in Germany and England. And all of Europe that used to be Christian, what happened to it? What happened to all those churches? The Times have turned European churches into museums. According to Michael Horton, many American churches are really no longer anything but nominally Christian, being replaced by Christless Christianity, a Christianity that teaches us, quote, how to live practical lives, the gospel of Joel Osteen, but the Savior's identity is not in it. And that's why the church has continually been called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the law and the gospel. And so the cycle returns repeatedly. Scriptural texts like today's remind us of the perpetual need to preach and to re-preach the gospel of Christ. And it might be to new people, as people like Dr. Kessel have done down in the Amazon, but for many of us, it's the same people, a new generation that has come to replace the past one and maybe supplanted and repressed Christianity. In America today, where Eastern religions, Islam, secular paganism, Gnosticism, New Age, and the gospel of self-help, like the jungle, threaten to steal our identity once again. But when this gospel is preached and God calls upon us to preach it, then by God's grace, the jungle will recede. For, as the Bible very clearly teaches, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen.